Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome again to A Penny for Your Thoughts here on News Talk 1400 DWS. We have reached Wednesday here, hump day, the middle of the week, working our way through the month of May. And boy, is this month going fast. We're headed for Mother's Day weekend. We've got commencement here at the University of Illinois. We'll be talking about those two things at the end of the week on Friday. Today, though, in our first hour, Champaign City Councilman at Large, Tom Bruno will join us. If you have any questions for Tom, he's not only a Champaign City Councilman, if you have questions related to the city of Champaign in any way, feel free to jump in with him. We'll call it A Penny for Your Thoughts with Tom Bruno in this first hour. But also, he's a noted attorney in town over in Urbana, so works in both communities. So if you have any questions for Tom, legal or related to the city or just in general, we'll ask him some questions. One of the things I wanted to talk to him about was the moving of the Burnham Mansion, what he makes of all of that. How difficult is that going to be, and how much time is going to be consumed with that as that is going to take place here in the weeks ahead? Also, some of the other issues, downtown development, the I-74 entry into the city towards downtown. So all of that we'll discuss with him and whatever is on your mind with Tom Bruno in the first hour. Second hour, we'll focus a little more on this Iranian nuclear deal that the president announced yesterday. He's pulling the U.S. out of. Do you like that move or not? It depends on who you ask. European allies don't like it. Middle Eastern allies do like it. So we'll get into that a little bit. Also, more on the North Korean summit preparations. Apparently some hostages have been released from North Korea, heading back with the Secretary of State. And we'll update you on some of the sports news as well. Illinois women's golf continuing play. Men's and women's tennis getting ready for NCAA tournament play. The men's golf team next week at their NCAA regional in Columbus. A busy weekend here at the U of I for sports as well. But anyway, we'll talk about all of that in the second hour. Tom Bruno joins us, though, next on Penny for Your Thoughts after this opening timeout. All right, we're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. Here on this Wednesday, Tom Bruno will join us here momentarily. Of course, you've heard us talk about Woods Basement Systems. They've been around since 1986. Woods family's helped over 55,000 homeowners, and they encourage you to protect your home's investment. Get a free estimate from Woods. If you have any basement or crawl space cracks, you can even fix those once and for all. What are the signs of that? Well, they can be found inside on the drywall, outside in the masonry. They can be in block or poured concrete foundations. And they have two things in common. Count them, two. Cracks get worse if you ignore them, and they keep stealing value from your home until the cause is fixed. They're the winners of the Better Business Bureau Torch Awards. They do great work, and you can always get an estimate for free. The number to call is 888-935-4333. And again, the number 888-935-4333. You can go to woodsbasementsystems.com, go online and do that. And how much, the question they ask is, how much is it costing you to not fix that problem? And those problems do not go away. So Woods Basement System since 1986, 888-935-4333, or go to woodsbasementsystems.com. We are on Penny for Your Thoughts, and Tom Bruno is with us. We haven't seen him for a few months.
Yeah, good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Great.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking all about basements. I love basements, you know? I really do. Whenever I have a friend invite me to their home and they've moved in a new place or something, I want to see the basement.
First place you want to go.
Yeah. It's.
Yeah. Well, you can do a lot with them now. I mean,
there you go.
The way they redo them. So you've been traveling any?
I have a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm planning a trip now for September, and going to go to Washington, D.C. in the end of June with a group from the community to advocate for Champaign County's needs with our elected representatives and our agency representatives. So that's always a productive trip.
Mm-hmm. And you do some personal traveling. I know you've been around the world.
Yeah, I love to do personal traveling.
Mm-hmm. Is there any place you haven't been that you still really want to go?
I'd like to go to Vietnam and some of Southeast Asia. I've been to China a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I've been to Turkey a couple of times, and Egypt this past winter. But I'd like to go to Southeast Asia.
Mm-hmm. Well, how many countries have you been in? Have you kept track?
Oh, I don't know. Probably over 30. Yeah.
Yeah, well, good. I'm glad you've been able to do that. And I know you've been keeping busy, of course, Champaign City Council. We'll get into some of the various issues. But let me ask you just a general question about being an attorney.
Sure.
And the national headlines with the president and his attorneys and Stormy Daniels and her attorneys. As a broadcaster, I watch other broadcasters work, and I'm always intrigued by, okay, I know kind of what they're thinking. Do you do that as an attorney?
Sure.
When you watch all that?
Sure. And, it's a profession, like medicine probably, that lends itself to drama. For years there have been shows about cowboys and doctors and lawyers, from Marcus Welby to Perry Mason. So it's interesting. And what we're seeing now, I think, is a combination of showmanship and also interesting legal arguments. It's hard sometimes sorting them out. What's showbiz? Rudy Giuliani, is his role more a spokesman or is he really trying to practice law? It's a blend. I would advocate for a new lawyer in a community like ours that public relations are part of the job. A few years ago, I saw an ad the U of I had for a job opening. They were looking for a storyteller. And I thought, well, that's really weird. The University of Illinois is looking for a storyteller. And I thought about that a while. And what they really are looking for is like a public relations person. And I have thought about that in terms of what I do for a living. I'm basically a storyteller for my clients. And all stories aren't fictional. So there can be a thread of truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
But what a lawyer does in a courtroom as an advocate for their client is tell their story, because maybe they're not comfortable in public speaking and comfortable advocating. They don't know what points to emphasize. So whether I'm in front of a jury or in front of a radio microphone, I'm trying to tell a story of my mm-hmm. client, explain why they're in the position they're in. And I think that we're seeing the blend of some of it with Michael Avenatti and Rudy Giuliani mm-hmm. and the lawyers that we see on TV advocating for their client.
Everybody remembers, of course, Rudy Giuliani recently with 9/11, mayor of New York City. But before that, he was a very successful prosecutor, right?
He was. New York City is a place just like Chicago. A long time had mobs and gangs and corruption. And he was the federal prosecutor for the Southern District of New York. And like Patrick Fitzgerald, who was a prosecutor in Chicago, being the federal prosecutor in a big city is a platform for media exposure, high-profile cases. But I think it's been 40 years since Rudy Giuliani stepped into a courtroom and introduced an exhibit into evidence, spoke to a judge in a courtroom, or practiced law. So that's not to say he's forgotten all that, but it's like I'm old enough to remember Dr. Spock giving parental advice. Dr. Spock was a great guy, and he wrote books about how to raise your children in the 1950s, but I don't know that I'd want him doing surgery on somebody. So Tony La Russa is a lawyer, but I wouldn't want him stepping into a courtroom for mm-hmm. me. So Rudy Giuliani it's been a long time since he practiced law.
Yeah. Well, it's just interesting, and you're in a high-stakes game with all of the – I mean, game is too loose a term, but, I mean, it's high-stakes politics going on with the president and all the different things involved.
So. And it's appropriate to have political spokespeople, and if their background is that they were a lawyer, maybe they understand some of the issues a little bit better.
Yeah. 356-9397. We're visiting with Tom Bruno, Champaign City Councilman. Any questions for Tom related to the city? If you got a legal question or anything like that, he covers both worlds. 917. A lot of talk in town about the Burnham Mansion. and sure. moving the Burnham Mansion.
Sure. I think that's a, you know, it's a great win-win solution. I don't know whether it will succeed because it's really a daunting task to move any piece of property. Mm-hmm. But to move something that's significant will require a level of expertise that we don't normally see locally. That's a big building.
How big is it? I mean, do we know? How many square feet is it?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I've...
It's a mansion, so
after
it's...
the news broke that this Chicagoan was seeking to move it, I drove by slowly again and took another look at it, and it's a big building. So, and they put them on some short deadlines. Hey, tell us where you're going to move it by June 1 and get it moved by, I think, July something. That's a daunting task, but it's not impossible, and I wish them the best of luck.
For people that don't, I think most people around that are townies know about the building, but the age of it, how long has it been around?
Oh, I think it's probably 100 years old, and it's it was at one time a big, beautiful single-family home. In the last 40 years, it had been chopped up into rental apartments, which caused it to lose some of its charm, and then it suffered from some neglect. But it's still a nice big frame building. And, you know, the trick of moving these big buildings, they have some wiggle to them. You can lift one end 2 inches higher than the other end, and it won't fall down. And maybe when you replace it, it'll have cracked plaster throughout. Mm-hmm. But that's fixable.
Yeah. When you're moving something that old, though, is it more fragile? I mean, is it?
I think if it's a frame, it's not fragile so much. Yeah. It's large and unwieldy. The chassis that they will put underneath it will really be a amalgamation of. It'll look like something that they moved the space shuttle with. You know, where there's two different sets of 32 tires each, and they're spread out with steel beams. So you poke some holes in the foundation around the perimeter of the building, and you, through those holes, you snake giant steel I-beams. And then they are crisscrossed underneath the building, and then you crisscross, like a Jenga game, you crisscross timbers that are the size of railroad ties, and you have maybe 20 or 30 hydraulic jacks, hydraulic pumps. And each one of these, when they moved the house, when I moved the house next to mine.
Because you've had experience with this, yeah.
The house mover has a manifold with maybe 20 valves on it that drive these 20 different hydraulic pumps. And he, you know, gives a little jolt to each of the pumps until they're up and they're getting tighter and tighter against the base of the house, and adjusts them till the house lifts up level. And then maybe you lower a few of them and you put in some more Jenga blocks and you push the hydraulic jack up. Pretty soon you have the house 8 feet higher than it used to be up on this crisscross grid of steel beams, and you get the wheels underneath it and you lower it onto the wheels and you roll it down the street and reverse the whole process at the other end.
So as you're rolling it down the street, it's very high.
It is.
You've got wires, power lines. Yeah.
It's probably riding at that point 10 or 12 feet higher than it was when it was in its original position. And that's a lot taller than a lot of utility lines that cross the street. So sometimes you don't actually sever that utility line. You just lay them down on the pavement and you roll over them. So you roll over live electrical lines, or you roll over the electrical they may kill the power to, but the coaxial cable for cable television, for instance, they'll just lay that on the ground and telephone lines, and the wheels will go right over it. And then they have to go hook those lines back up on the poles after you've moved. And you have to trim some trees, and you have to take down some street signs.
So the person that bought it, they need to let the city know.
Oh, sure, you have to get a permit.
By June, you said June 1,
I think the deal with the school district, if I read the news accounts correctly, was the deal was tell the school district where you're going to move this to by June 1st.
Okay.
I think that may be a test of do you have your act together? Is this really going to happen?
Yeah.
Have you secured another piece of land? And then you got to pour a foundation on the new property.
Right. I'm trying to think of any places where you could put it. I mean,
The closer to the original location, the easier the job becomes.
Yeah, for sure. 356-9397. We're talking with Tom Bruno. We'll continue with this here. Let's go to Eric. Hi, Eric. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Brian and Tom. Tom, I had two questions for you, one law-related and second related to the city council. First, with the law question, this might be more of an obvious answer than I'm making it sound or than I believe. But let's say you're a client with a case. Let's use your former client, Mr. Christensen, as an example. Let's say he goes through all this process and is exonerated in the end. But throughout the process, it's cost him, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to get through that process. Is that money, you know, basically just gone with the wind at that point, even though he was exonerated, for example?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I guess most people who are acquitted in a criminal case would think that that was maybe money well spent, but they are resentful of it. In a very rare case, you might be able to claim that the people who were prosecuting you intentionally did this knowing you were innocent. But that's so rare, and the burden is on you to prove that, a malicious prosecution. You'd almost have to uncover a secret trove of documents that indicated the police or the prosecutor absolutely knew you were innocent but decided to prosecute you anyway. Otherwise, every time you get a not guilty, you don't have a lawsuit against the government. You don't have a lawsuit against the prosecutor or the police department or the individual who called the police and reported you as they thought you had committed a crime. Our system immunizes all those people so as not to discourage people from making reports that they believe a crime has taken place.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, I thought that probably was a more obvious answer than I was thinking, but it's also something maybe you don't think about, you know, all
sure.
the time, but the cost of the whole thing. And the other question I have is a city council member. I do some ride-sharing driving, and I've reported this to the C-Click Fix app through the city, but Locust Street on campus between Green and Armory, if you ever get a chance to go down there, and I would encourage you to do it, it's one giant pothole.
I used to live in that neighborhood when I was an undergrad.
It's completely, almost to the point, undrivable. So I hope that can be addressed sooner
sure.
rather than later.
Now, Locust between Green and Armory, if my memory serves me correct, is poured concrete. It's not asphalt. Isn't that right? Or is...
Well, regardless of what it is, at this point, it's like the moon.
Well, this is the time of year when cities all across North America have potholes. Water has gotten into the pavement. It's expanded and contracted with freezing. It's broken up the concrete, and we set out to try to fix those. I'd be shocked if the city wasn't as aware as you are of the condition of the street. And I can make a specific inquiry, or you can call the Public Works Department. I'm sure they'd be happy to tell you whether or not that's on their radar and what the plans are for fixing it. But duly noted.
Okay, much appreciated, Tom.
Right,
thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Eric. We'll come back with Tom Bruno in just a moment on Penny for Your Thoughts. Penny for Your Thoughts continues here on News Talk 1400 DWS. We are at the bottom of the hour. Lindsey Jones coming up with the news headlines here in a moment. Tom Bruno is with us. He mentioned potholes. Are there more potholes this year than previously?
I know that it's not scientific how much the public complains about potholes. Frankly, I think the city of Champaign is probably better equipped to address potholes than cities larger than us, and then many small towns and villages smaller than us. But I know it's bothersome to motorists. It costs a lot of money to fix them. And, you know, I don't know if there's more this season or not.
I just asked because the weather's been so weird.
It has been an unpleasant unpleasant spring.
That's for sure. All right, we've got Tom Bruno with us here for another half hour. Open line in hour number two. We'll talk a little more about the Iranian nuclear discussion, get some reaction varied across the world in regards to that. So we'll do that in the second hour, but we'll break now for the news with Lindsey Jones and come back with more. Penny for Your Thoughts. After.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk@wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
One of our sponsors here on Penny for Your Thoughts is Swanson Roofing, the roofing dog, proud to have been previously selected as Small Business of the Year by the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce. Corey Swanson's a hands-on owner, meaning he works on almost every job with the crew. Of course, he's local. He's from Rantoul High School and the University of Illinois. Every job site, 100% cleaned up. That's one of the biggest concerns you have when people are working on your roof. Any nails left around, that can cause trouble, so they make sure they're 100% cleaned up. Do not subcontract out any of the work. Swanson Roofing guaranteeing their workmanship for the lifetime of your roof, and the materials they use are guaranteed for 50 years. Swanson Roofing takes responsibility and ownership of every past customer, and that has been the cornerstone of their business since they started. So Swanson Roofing, the roofing dog, proudly providing services in Champaign, Vermilion, Ford, and McLean counties. You can get a free estimate from them. If you've got a problem with your roof and you don't want to, they don't know what to do, or you're worried about how much it might cost, we'll get a free estimate first and find out at 217-355-ROOF, 217-355-7663, or visit Swanson Roofing online at theroofingdog.com. Don't know if they'll be involved in any roofing with the Burnham Mansion. We've been talking about moving. Tom Bruno is here. A couple of quick notes on that. Unit 4 says they want that house gone by July 15th. Said if the project drags past that date, the mansion's new owner, a U of I graduate, Christopher Inc., would have to pay $2,500 a day. That's on top of the more than $100,000 you'd have to shell out to move it in the first place. So quite a task.
It's a big project.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, speaking of projects, there's a lot going on in Champaign with what, building permits, you say?
Oh, there sure are. Our building permits, you know, are measured in the millions and millions of dollars, but they're way up this year so far, year to date, over what they were last year. There's a lot of building activity going on.
So where is there a particular area, or is it all over town?
No, I think there's housing going up all over, and there's a couple of big projects, you know, in the back of everybody's mind. There's the Dr. Howard School is going to get started, demolition after the school year concludes in a few weeks. Some multifamily and retail going in at Columbia and Neal. There's just a lot going on.
There's something just north of our building here, right? The mixed use.
Sure. Just north of your building, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, and there's the hotel at Hill Street by where the former Wedge restaurant in that mm-hmm. area there, mm-hmm. that little open parking lot, is going to become a hotel that Doug Altenberger's involved in. So a lot of construction will be going on.
356-9397 is our phone number. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. And you can email us at talk@wdws.com. Tom Bruno is here, Champaign City Councilman, and, of course, a noted attorney in town as well. A lot of talk about new high-rises, Campus Town. If you've been out of town, come back to Campus Town. I know Darren Williams was here recently, and he was marveling at that.
The economics, I think that, you know, I came down here as an 18-year-old a long, long time ago. And it's my impression that a lot of folks who live in this community do not have a good understanding of the economics of University of Illinois undergrads now and how wealthy many of them are. There's a great deal of wealth, and some of it's folks from China and India and Korea. And they are demanding high-quality housing, and they're willing to pay a lot of money for it. Folks my age notice or have noticed the Maseratis, the Jaguars, the Mercedes-Benz cars on campus. When I was an undergraduate, the students were the poorest people in the community. And now probably the 200 wealthiest individuals living in the county are University of Illinois undergrads whose parents are literally billionaires. those folks mm-hmm. exist, and they send their kids to the University of Illinois. Clearly not every student. There's plenty of students struggling at the University of Illinois, plenty of struggling undergraduates. But there's also a mix in that group of some extremely wealthy people hmm. who have chosen the University of Illinois for its high-quality education and whose parents can afford any university in the world.
Hmm. So the feeling is that they need to have that outstanding housing and high rises. Is that are these common on a lot of college campuses, or is it?
You know, I don't know. I think that we are a little bit of an outlier mm-hmm. in terms of having some students who attend the University of Illinois, whose family have tremendous wealth. That's not all students. But if it's 1,000 out of 50,000 or 1,000 out of 45,000 who want for their child a luxury apartment because it's a relatively small percentage of the family wealth, that drives those markets. So there's some campus landlord who says, well, I can build a building with 400 units in it, and it can be very high end, and there will be 400 students who want to rent it from me. So that pushes everything else down the food chain a little bit mm-hmm. to where some of the older apartments become less desirable.
What was the story on where the firehouse is and the Clyburn, and where are we at on that? And I know that's kind of down the road, I think. But
no, there's some plans in the works. Mm-hmm. An investor, I believe, wants to put a building in that area.
Mm-hmm. Right there at 6th Street, right?
6th and Green. Mm-hmm. That'd be another high rise, you know. So mm-hmm. Location, location, location. when I was an undergraduate, kids sometimes lived a mile or two away from campus. Not anymore.
Mm-hmm. Are majority of them living near campus now?
Well, I think it's become denser with the high rises. And that helps our community in that it means it's not quite as necessary for a student to have a car. And the fewer students with cars, the better off we are as a campus. And we've now got a grocery store at 4th and Springfield. Mm-hmm. So you can walk and get groceries. That's a good thing.
We're with Champaign City Councilman Tom Bruno. We're at 9:44. If you have any questions for Tom, feel free to send those our way. Recently, back in January, City Council voted to enact regulations on video gambling. They passed 8-1. Councilmember Tom Bruno voted against, I saw. What?
I did. I think the regulations that were proposed would do nothing to address the angst that's felt by the community to see that these businesses are popping up with such regularity. It wasn't going to get rid of them. It was just going to cap it. So we were going to give an unfair advantage to the ones that already existed. You know, whenever you say, well, that's a bad thing that people are doing, I'm going to cut it off at the number where it's at now and allow no more. It would be if we right now said no more new stores can sell cigarettes. But we didn't do anything to shut down the existing stores that sell cigarettes. Well, people who want to buy cigarettes mm-hmm. will buy them from the existing stores. People who want to do video gambling will go to one of the existing businesses. I didn't think it was the role of government to get in there and say, no new ones. Mm-hmm. But it was popular.
Yeah, those have grown quite a bit, though, in this.
Tremendous.
How many? We have a lot of them now.
Yeah.
Don't we?
Can you guess why they're growing? They're growing because the public wants to go in that building and spend their money in that way. They find that to be entertaining and worth the gamble, if you will. That's not how I choose to spend my discretionary income, but mm-hmm. but who am I to say that guy over there, he shouldn't be doing that? I don't know what pleasure he gets from it. I made the analogy, you know, I don't know, it's not my position to say you shouldn't go to the movie theater. Mm-hmm. That's a waste of your money, or you shouldn't go to a sporting event because that's a waste of your money. You shouldn't have your car shined, your fingernails redone. I don't get to make those choices for my other citizens, and I don't. I feel the same thing about video gaming parlors.
So the majority, what's their line of thinking is? What was their argument? I guess basically,
there's no good reason for that. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't be doing that. Those people shouldn't be spending their money that way. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make it a little bit more difficult for them to do that.
Mm-hmm. Is there some concern? People would say, well, there's, you know, we don't want to become a mini Las Vegas, I guess. I mean, is that maybe part of it?
I suppose this is happening all around the world because people find gambling entertaining. And for some people, it's addictive and destructive. Just like chocolate ice cream is cause some people to die, and smoking cigarettes and a lot of other things that we allow, the consumption of beer, the consumption of fatty beef. There's many different things that we haven't made illegal, but we know are they're harmful to you. And I kind of have a live and let live attitude about government.
356-9397, visiting with Tom Bruno. We will take a quick break. Back with more after this. Time out on Penny. We're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. News Talk 1400 here on this Wednesday. We're at 60 degrees at 951, visiting with Champaign City Councilman Tom Bruno. Got a text in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. Does Mr. Bruno expect lawsuits if Stone Creek is no longer a golf course?
You know, I'm not a real estate attorney, and I don't know what expectations the property owners around that have. I think there's a long history with real estate development that people will buy a residential lot and they will assume that they know what's going to happen around them, but they haven't really looked for the evidence that the neighbors around them are forced to do that. And then when the single family homes are all sold, the apartment buildings start coming up, they say, I didn't know that they could do that. And then pretty soon it's a convenience store on the corner. So I don't know what expectations the folks around the golf course had that there would in perpetuity be a golf course there.
Hmm. All right. Also another text, and this more involves Urbana, but how about a high rise at Lincoln Square?
I thought the most interesting thing about that Lincoln Square debate was Jim Webster in the recent News Gazette article saying, you know, not so fast, folks. I own this place. It's privately owned. These ideas are interesting, but you don't get to tell me what I do with the land I privately own. Mm. You know, you don't necessarily need a high rise to have a successful development, but... Mm. I wish them well. My office is a block away. And
I was going to say, you work over there, but obviously you're not involved in Urbana city government. But, I mean, they've got a, you know, Health Alliance moved out of there. Yeah. You know, they've got some vacant space there.
Correct. And the times are changing, but the needs and the market is different. So,
all right. We have Dave on the line here at 953 for Tom Bruno. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Hey, Brian, great show as always, Tom. Glad to have you on the airwaves again. Got a question regarding Urbana City Council, though. Obviously, just want your City Council hat, your opinion on this. So, coming up later this month, the Urbana City Council is going to be voting on a zoning ordinance to subdivide the property that the county nursing home is on, which would allow the county board to sell the nursing home to a private company. There seems to be a little bit of, when the ordinance was originally brought up, there was a little bit of debate on, you know, feelings about passing this ordinance because it would allow the county board to sell the nursing home. And it seemed that there was a little bit of a sentiment of, well, we could block this from happening if we don't vote for this ordinance. Then legal had brought up that, you know, there's a criteria, the LaSalle criteria, that they have to follow in regards to a zoning ordinance change of this nature. What are your thoughts on, you know, how this vote were to go? I mean, as far as a legal opinion, and do they have a right to block the county from making a decision on their own because of their opinion on whether or not it should be private or public?
Okay, we'll let him answer that. Okay, Dave? Thanks for calling in. Yep.
Sure, but first, a point of personal privilege. That's where I met my wife, was working at the Bank of Westmont. And the Bank of Westmont became the LaSalle State Bank of Westmont. And that was the one of the parties in the lawsuit where the Illinois Supreme Court laid out the criteria for when municipalities make zoning decisions and exceptions from zoning decisions. So I digress. But the problem with when you make a zoning decision for illegitimate reasons, the aggrieved party can sue the unit of government and say, you know, you do have broad power to zone properties, but you can't do this to my land. You can't frustrate what I want to do with my property by messing with my zoning. So municipalities, units of government have to follow the LaSalle guidelines when they make zoning decisions. And when you make a record of, we're going to deny this subdivision request, and our reason for doing it is so that you can't sell that nursing home, then you might be leaving yourself vulnerable to somebody taking you to court and saying, you know, if there was some other legitimate reason for denying our subdivision request, that would be okay, but you can't do it for this reason. And that would be how I would analyze that you have to be very careful when you publicly state that your motivation for denying the subdivision request is to frustrate the landowner's ability to do something with their property. Mm-hmm. That can be problematic.
All right, we've got about 3.5 minutes left. Let me squeeze in some of these texts here. I'm sure all the people driving Maseratis or the Ferraris would love to have some better streets here in Champaign. He says, I'd like to know why the city does not spend more money on the streets. As an example, that Calpath, he says, called Prospect and also Windsor Road. When was the last time they increased the budget for city streets in Champaign? That's from Dave.
Sure. I was the advocate for the local motor fuel tax. Mm-hmm. And oh, the hand-wringing that it caused, you know, that folks were going to drive to Savoy to buy gas if we added 2 cents a gallon to the price of gas. And I thought, you know, but the other thing I hear is the public wants good roads. They want us to be able to repave our arterial streets. They want good infrastructure. They want new traffic lights. So I'd gladly vote for another 2 cents per gallon gas tax if I knew that the government would then have the money to more aggressively deal with pavement issues, more aggressively deal with roads that are in bad condition. I vote yes every time we talk about mm-hmm. fixing a road. But, you know, we have to come up with the money somewhere. And I think the public would largely be willing to pay for that fix.
Text from Eric. He says, what has been the effect on Champaign-Urbana of the ride-sharing services Uber and Lyft? Have you seen a lot of those around? Or
sure. I think it's meant fewer young people are driving home impaired from a night out on the town. It's probably been a great increase in safety. The problem in a community our size with traditional model of taxi cabs is we never had a community where you could go out on a street corner and hail down a cab like you can in Chicago or New York. So you couldn't have a night at the Esquire and then step out in front of the Esquire and flag down the next taxi that drove by. You had to call them. And in the advent of cell phones, taxi cab owners became split into 30 little companies. So if you call the guy with a taxi cab and he's in Northeast Urbana and you need him to be at the Esquire, he'll say, I'll be right there, but it'll be 20 minutes. Whereas Uber solves that problem. Mm-hmm. So Uber's been a great convenience for consumers mm-hmm. in our area, and it's a good idea.
And a 30-second answer on a sanctuary for legal gun owners. You've heard counties doing that.
I think it's a mistake when we as city council members try to tackle national or global issues. They are very important, but they are not what we should be spending our limited time on. So as important as things like that are, I don't think it's appropriate for a town our size to take up a cause like that.
Hey, Tom, great to see you again.
Sure.
I know you got a busy day ahead, so thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. We'll do it again. Tom Bruno, Champaign City Councilman, Urbana Attorney, on our first hour of Penny for Your Thoughts on WDWS Champaign-Urbana.